you for real. I've been left alone, never known the bond that we shared. With anyone else, can you say that you care? Now I'm tossed aside, locked inside the prison you built. Finding out you're going out to love someone else.
Well, this is I'm Not Okay podcast. I'm Stormy.
I'm Elena. And that was the song Let Go of Your Love by Thousand Below off of their new EP by the same name. And what does that mean?
Well, that means we have JB on it a little bit.
Yay! Okay, first off, I feel like we should apologize because the last time we spoke, which was, I want to say 9 weeks ago at this point.
I guess, probably.
Over 2 months ago. We said that we were going to be doing bi-weekly episodes. And
oh, no, we're dirty liars, so.
Anytime we come out and we say that we're going to adjust our schedule, it turns out that we're about to take a little hiatus. We're never going to be gone for good. But, you know, life events happen, and we had some new schedules to get used to, so.
Yeah, well, because I got a new job, and you were doing summer classes, and you also got a new job.
I actually got two new jobs.
Two new jobs. So we had to adjust quite a bit to new stuff, so.
It's been hectic, guys. It's not that we haven't been putting work into it. Just took us a little time to figure that out. But I think now we're on track to be weekly from here on out.
I hope so, yeah.
You know, barring like some extenuating circumstances, it happens at times, you know. We're not paid to sit here every week, so.
But we do want to be able to give you episodes every week because it's fun and we think that there are still a lot of artists that deserve recognition, so.
Absolutely. And we've got a whole fun lineup of them and I wish I could shout it out, but I can tease next week's in a little bit here because we'll be talking about their new album anyway. Did you have any like releases from over the summer that you wanted to talk about?
Well, yeah, but I didn't plan them out because I'm never prepared.
Whatever.
Lights actually released a little EP this not too long ago that I really, really like. And I also can't remember, like, how long ago we stopped. But the Lilac Kings have been releasing songs pretty frequently this summer, and they're all so good.
Yes, they are.
Black Bear dropped an album while we've been gone. Makeout dropped a song.
It was the first one that Kyle dropped, right?
I think so. As far as I know.
Yeah, I think at least since we've talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was his first song, like, as part
actually
of the band.
Actually recording, yeah. The Driver era. I always love the Driver era. AJR dropped a new song.
Yesterday. I forgot to listen
yesterday.
To it.
It's so good. It's called Bummerland.
Yeah, I did know that. I reminded myself to listen to it yesterday, and then I completely forgot again.
Yeah, it's really good.
Medina Lake has released a couple of singles as well.
Yeah.
And actually their EP is going to drop on the 4th, which is this Friday. So
yeah.
Keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, go and listen to the rest of the singles that have been dropped because they're fantastic. Yeah. Fun fact, Matthew actually got the name of the EP wrong and I've been told to correct it when he was on.
I forgot about that.
I did too until I just said it here because I talked to Nathan
That's
over
so
the summer.
Funny.
And it's actually called The Beginning of New Endings, not The End of New Beginnings. So just to clarify that from
what a nerd. That's so funny.
I love him. I love him. Anyway.
That's so funny. I'm obsessed with him. He cracks me up.
So where were we? I forgot. Oh, no music. Did you have any more?
I mean, it's the ones I already said. The Lights EP was so good. It's like three new songs and then like some remixes of older songs.
I've actually had a fantastic last couple of weeks as far as music goes because The Killers, Black Audio, and Benchmarks all released their albums on August 21st. So that's been keeping me busy. And actually, we're going to have Todd and Jack from Benchmarks on next week to talk about that album, which is called Summer Slowly. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to them again.
It's actually going to come up on like exactly a year.
Really?
Since the last time or like close to it.
It wasn't even on purpose.
Okay, so I've got a little game for us, unless you've got any new music otherwise that you'd like to talk about.
Nope, I'm good. Let's play the game. I'm nervous about the game. You didn't tell me anything about the game. Now I have to play the game, and I'm scared.
Didn't. Okay, so this was all based off the VMAs. Did you watch them? I didn't watch them.
I've watched BTS's performance from the VMAs. I also watched Machine Gun Kelly's performance too.
I heard that BTS stole the show. BTS and Lady Gaga.
First of all, they always do. They rule the world, and I am convinced they deserve it. So everyone can fight me if they don't believe that. Also, yeah, they're good. And for some reason, everybody gets obsessed with the one that has blue hair at the current time. Because last time, everybody was like, oh my God, who's that? Like at the Grammys. Who's that guy with the blue hair? It was V. And now they're obsessed with RM. Like, who's the guy with the blue hair? Well, it changed. It's RM now.
It's that alternative culture.
They just need to calm down. Like, they're all pretty all the time. You not just because they have blue hair. They've all had blue hair. Well, not all of them. Jungkook has never had blue hair. He cannot be trusted to dye his hair. Anyway.
I just want to say, I'm so stoked that Lady Gaga is still so relevant in 2020. Because do you remember when she, like, first popped up on the scene? Like, I feel like that was in the, like, alternative heyday. And she got so much hate for being the way that she was.
She was just weird. It was like she was trying extra hard to be weird. Like, yeah. I mean, when you show up somewhere in a meat dress, people are going to talk shit. But, like, also, I think now she has a more clear message and way she wants to go. And she can also be really elegant, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that we ever saw that back then. She was just trying to be weird to be weird.
Did I ever tell you my brother went as her in the meat dress for Halloween that year?
No.
I'll have to dig up a picture. It was so funny.
Jesus. Of course.
So funny. But no, I'm happy to see her, like, still going and killing it. Because I loved her even back then. I didn't want to admit it, but, like...
Oh, no. I like her a lot. I listened to her music even then. But, like, she was just real weird as a person. And then, like, it's just kind of strange. Because, like, you know that, like, kids in high school are like, oh, Lady Gaga is this, this, this. And we're just like... You remember that time she showed up in a dress of meat? Literal meat?
Right.
Just like it's, I don't know, it's gotta be.
And there were weirder things than that. Not weirder. There were other weird things that she did that I just like can't even conjure up an image in my brain because that just prevailed.
That's just the one that sunk it in.
Anyway, this year she showed up in like all these decked out masks. Ooh. Which was just... incredible.
Okay.
I want to make one more point. I think we as a society, and I'm not hating in any way, we need to stop giving Coldplay alternative awards. Or sorry, rock and roll awards.
I don't really understand. Is it because they're a band? Like,
I don't know. They're good. I'm not gonna hate on them because they're objectively talented. But, like, they won out over Evanescence and The Killers this year. And I don't think it really makes sense.
I didn't watch any of the awards. I don't even know who won stuff, to be honest. I know All Time Low didn't win because none of them did the WAP dance.
Well, Machine Gun Kelly won their award.
Yeah, because he's good.
But it's Best Alternative, and that's where I'm a little...
Well, MGK has been slipping into alternative... more and more.
Right.
His next album is actually supposed to be alternative pop punk-ish.
Which I understand. So. But All Time Low has been doing this for like 15 years.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know. I think that he is working hard to push his music in a new direction. I think that it's just he's pushing in a new direction. So... I don't mind that he's winning awards in that because the songs are good and they are that genre. It's like a lot of times, like if it's, so if you're giving like a full on rap song an alternative award, okay, maybe not. But like the songs that he's been putting out are not.
I mean, and I hear you. I get that. I just, Some Kind of Disaster was one of the best songs to come out this year.
It is really good, and I firmly stand by that, but I also think that MGK's been working just as long as them, just not in technically in that genre, you know?
But he's already gotten all the recognition in the world. He's so much more famous than they are. I just wanted them to win that one.
Well, yeah, but All Time Low are famous to the people that matter.
I know.
They speak to the generation of us that were there, and MGK can speak to the masses. I think that that probably has something to do with it. He's more well-known, and he's...
Oh, absolutely. It's the same way that how it is. Coldplay just won over Evanescence. It's fine. I sound like such a hater today. I'm pretty sure last time the VMAs happened, I spent the entire episode talking about how I hate people reacting to them in this way, and now I'm just doing the exact same thing.
Am I going to ruin it if I look up winners?
Not from this year.
So, okay, BTS won a lot of stuff. And I really was just checking because I knew that they had won, I believe, everything that they were nominated for. I just couldn't remember what they were nominated for because they won Best K-Pop, but they also won Best Group, Best Choreography, and Best Pop, I believe.
I didn't take it down, but that sounds about right.
I think that that is a push forward because before they weren't able to win anything outside of K-pop, like, or I think they used to win the on Billboard, they won like Best Fandom or whatever, like so many years in a row, and that's yeah. all they would win, but they were always on Billboard, but like they didn't actually get any of the awards that they were nominated for except for that one, which is insane to me because they always had them on. But it looks like the VMAs did better. They actually won things that they deserve to win.
So, in the spirit of the VMAs, I decided to do a little thing, and I researched every year between 2000 and 2010, and I'm going to name a music video, and I want you to tell me what year it won a prize in.
What? This is not even freaking fair. How would I know? I don't pay attention to years.
That's the fun thing, is it's going to make us feel super old, but then also I've got some fun facts about each of them.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so the first one I've got for you is I Write Sins, Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco.
2006.
Bingo!
Wow!
Do you know what award it won?
Best Alternative?
Best Video of the Year.
Oh, they got Video of the Year?
Yeah.
First, I Write Sins, Not Tragedies?
Yeah, so here's the funny thing about that. It was the first music video that they ever did, right? Brendan and Ryan both had the flu while they were filming it.
It's not even their best video. Like, it's... I mean, I get it.
No. But they filmed it with the fucking flu and then just won Video of the Year at the VMAs.
That is kind of crazy.
And it was their first one. Anyway, whatever. The second one I've got for you is Girls Not Grey by AFI. What year do you think that won itself an award?
2004.
2003.
Okay.
You were close. And that was an MTV 2 award. I'm actually not sure what that means. Do you remember that one?
I don't know. Were there like MTV awards and then MTV 2 awards?
Oh, yeah. It's the category recognized the best videos to have premiered and or gotten their start in MTV's sister channel, MTV 2.
Yeah. I figured that was probably it.
But it was fan voted as well, so that's kind of fun. And the fact that I have for that video is that there's actually a second version of it that's out on the internet. Originally, it came out on a separate CD that they had released, and it's called the Prelude version of Girls Not Grey. And it's essentially just the performance cut of the whole music video, so the part where they're all, like, covered in paint and playing, it doesn't have, like, the alternate dimension that the rest of the video has, so you can go and find that on the internet, and it's a neat watch. Third music video I've got for you is, or sorry, third song I've got for you is The Kill by 30 Seconds to Mars. What year do you think it won?
2009?
2007.
Okay.
I would have guessed 2009 too, though. It feels a lot more recent. And that was also an MTV 2 award. And the fun thing about that is that Jared actually directed the video, but when he was asked about it, he listed the director as a Dr. Seuss character named Bartholomew Cubbins. So to this day, when it's aired on channels, it's listed as being directed by Bartholomew Cubbins.
That's hilarious.
Right? Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day.
Is that 2004?
2005. Close. You're like 1 year off for every single one of them.
Okay.
You got a pretty decent target on it. This one's easy. Do you want to guess what it won? You've got five opportunities here because it cleaned out that year.
Song Alternative?
No, that was not one of them, but
it won. Video of the Year?
Yeah, video of the year, best group video, best rock video, best direction in a video, and best cinematography in a video.
Jesus Christ. I think nobody else put out another video that year. They were all bad. Just
Green Day.
Only Green Day.
So they actually showed up to the VMAs that year in a green 1968 Mercury Monterey convertible, which was the exact same one that they used in the music video.
I mean,
which I think is funny as shit. Okay, what about Complicated by Avril Lavigne? Get ready to feel old.
Yeah, it's going to be like 2001 or something, isn't it?
2002.
Damn it! I'm so close every time!
So, like Panic at the Disco, that was the first music video she'd ever filmed. And the first song she'd ever released. And overnight, it put her on number one on charts in Australia, Austria, Canada, Europe, Ireland, Mexico, New Zealand, Norway, the US, and Venezuela.
Yeah, because it's a good song. It is a good music video.
I didn't realize either. She apparently signed to a label before, I can't remember which one put out Complicated. But prior, she'd been signed to a different label as like a folk singer. And then she was like, nah, I really don't want to do this. I want to experiment with alternative music because that's kind of on the rise right now. And they booted her for it.
Jeez.
All right. We almost didn't have Avril Lavigne.
Too bad for them.
Of course. All right. Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card.
Was that one 2004?
Yes.
Okay. Eventually I get the 2004 order.
Yeah. I mean, I should have told you there are multiples.
Well.
Oh, I think that might be the only 2004 though. So good job. And that was, again, the MTV2 award. I'm finding, I think, that all of the alternative music videos were MTV2s because they just weren't quite mainstream enough. Almost there, but not quite. My fun fact about that is that there's a lamb symbol on the briefcase that they use in the video. And if you watch Brand New's video, Sick Transit Gloria, Glory Fades, the same symbol is on the door to the bar that he walks into. And that's because the director, Mark Webb, used it as his signature.
Weird, okay.
So, yeah, in a lot of Mark Webb videos, there are little white lambs. Move Along by the All-American Rejects.
2006?
Yes.
Ha!
Did you look that up?
Nope. I didn't, I swear. I didn't, I swear. I was staring at this koala right here.
Koala gave you the answer.
Yeah, I was staring at him.
So that was another music video directed by Mark Webb, but I watched the whole thing and I could not find a lamb, which was a pain in the ass because there's so many different shots in it that like I could have missed it. I don't know. Anyway, it turns out this dude's done like every single music video that I know and love. So shout out to Mark Webb because he's done All That I've Got by The Used. He's done like a bunch of AFI songs. He did Prelude 1221, Miss Murder, Days of the Phoenix, Leaving Song, Love Like Winter. He did Gives You Hell by All American Rejects. He did Good Enough by Evanescence. Pretty much all the big MCR videos. I know he did I'm Not Okay, I Promise. And he did
do Helena, because that's the most important video.
I think he did.
Helena is the most iconic My Chemical Romance video. If you don't believe me, we can fight.
He did do Helena. I only took down I'm Not Okay, I Promise, because that's, you know, the title.
It's the name of our
Right. Yeah, no, he did that in Teenagers, too. And he did Stiff Kittens by Black Audio. So shout out to Mark Webb, because he's made my life complete. Moving on, what about In the End by Linkin Park?
I have no idea on that one. I can't even think of how the song goes.
2002.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have gotten that. But I thought it was kind of funny because Linkin Park was the first rock band ever to reach a billion total YouTube views on their videos. And coincidentally, that music video just hit 1 billion a month ago.
Huh.
2 months ago now. Yeah. So, milestones. What about 21 Guns by Green Day? This one shocked me.
Man, we just did the other one. That was in 2002, you said, so... We're going to go with 2005.
It's 2009.
Oh.
But I love how much thought you're putting into these. I thought you'd just be like winging it.
No, I've tried.
You're actually breaking it down. And that was another Mark Webb video.
Fair enough.
I'm telling you, this guy did like everything. But what I thought was funny, it's actually not that funny, but it kind of is that both of the actors... in the video, their names are Josh Boswell and Lisa Stelly, were injured while filming, like, the destructive scenes. Josh took a bunch of shrapnel when the room exploded. I'm not even sure how that happened. So they do real explosions on music video sets?
I mean, sometimes, but, like, I feel like they shouldn't have the actors actually in there when it's happening.
Right, that's what I mean. Anyway, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But then Lisa got cut by a squib, and I had to look this up. A squib is, like, the little pack that explodes to look like a bullet hole when they're shooting at you. So apparently what happened was one of these exploded and, like, actually cut her.
Jeez.
They actually injured their actors, which I'm sure isn't, you know, that unheard of. Okay, what about Ready, Set, Go by Tokyo Hotel? This one shocked me, too.
That's hard because I don't know how long that had been a thing before I got into it.
I know, me too.
Would be 2008?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be like 2004 or something. I'm not sure why.
I knew it wasn't that much, but that long before I got into them. But I think, like, because I got into them probably my sophomore year, which would have been 2009. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even remember. I have no context for when that fandom started for me. I just know that it happened. And interestingly, there's another version of this video, apparently, that I think it's roughly like the same video, but it doesn't depict them as actually being workers in the factory or whatever that they're in for it. It's just like it has the same series of events, but they're not part of it. They're just playing in front of a screen. But I have not been able to find that video for the life of me. I have no idea where it exists.
Huh.
Yeah. What about You're Beautiful by James Blunt?
2003.
2006. I feel like that was too late for him, right? Like, 2003 would make a lot more sense.
I don't know. I don't believe anything that happens with James Blunt anymore. I'm not convinced that he actually exists. I think he's just a part of the simulation that we made up. He's a weird person.
He's gotta be. What was that headline I sent you?
Oh, he got scurvy from old eating meat. Who the fuck is scurvy?
Because he wanted to look masculine in front of ladies. So he just started only eating meat for months at a time. Got scurvy. It was in the 90s. I looked it up. It wasn't recently, but even so.
Well, yeah, but like, how do you get... Nobody gets scurvy. That's a pirate disease. How do you get... I mean, I guess, okay. To be fair, pirates are manly.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't feel like he had to do that, because first of all, we've already talked on here that he was a tank commander. Come on, James, be more confident in yourself and your accomplishments and everything.
Well, also, like, I thought, isn't he, he's not gay?
I don't think so.
I just thought I heard that somewhere.
It's like, he's objectively a badass. He literally, at the end of the video for You're Beautiful, he literally jumped off a platform 50 feet into cold water. Like, it wasn't actually an iceberg. They CGI'd that part in. But, like, when it pans over and it watches him, like, going off the cliff, he's literally jumping that 50 feet. He does his own stunts. And evidently he had to do it twice because I guess the first one wasn't good enough. And he actually broke his lip jumping into the water. He hit it so hard. Like, ridiculous. He's a ridiculous.
You gotta go feet first. Duh.
And here's the other fun thing is he put out a sequel to this music video last year. It's amazing. I don't know if I told you about this one, but essentially he's like, he comes out of the water and he's just climbing up this island. And as he goes, he starts finding all the stuff that he took out of his pocket in the You're Beautiful video. He's actually, like, climbing mountains and shit. He's literally, like, half naked, scaling the side of a cliff.
Nah, he's not real.
He's not real. All right, last video for you.
Okay.
Sugar, We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy.
Oh, I know this. Hold on. 2007.
2005.
Damn it. Okay.
And this blew my fucking mind. That kid in the video with the antlers on. I don't know if you know who Donald Cumming is. Have you heard The Virgins? Okay, if you...
No.
Check him out. Everybody has to check him out. They opened for the Killers on their Battleborn tour. And I've been fucking in love with them ever since. They are a fantastic band. I actually saw Donald opening on his solo work when Brandon Flowers toured with The Desired Effect. And, like... I just, I'm fucking obsessed with the Virgins, and I never realized that that was the kid from the Sugar We're Going Down video, and it made me really fucking happy. All right, that's all I've got for you. That was fun, though, right?
Yeah, so it was more fun than I thought I was going to be, for sure. I did actually enjoy guessing. Usually I hate guessing, but there was, like, I felt like I could put some context in there, so there's that.
It's a nice little callback to, like, the things that were going around, like, at the time. Because I don't know about you, I never paid attention to the VMAs. So when I was going through it, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, no idea.
But, yeah, it makes me feel really fucking old. Because, like, I remember when Complicated first blew up. That was 18 years ago. That song is an adult now.
Like, well, I was going to say that song can buy cigarettes, but no, it can't. Well, at least it can't hear. I don't know. I don't know what, if everybody else changed the smoking age.
I have no idea. Honestly, I don't pay attention to it. But that's all I've got. So I think we should probably go talk to JB about Thousand Below's new EP, Let Go of Your Love. So let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
JB, he plays bass for A Thousand Below, the San Diego-based post-hardcore band. Hey, JB.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Pretty good.
Been doing anything special during quarantine?
Not really. I started skateboarding again. I haven't, like, skated since I was, like, 10, so that's been interesting because I'm terrible now, but...
Yeah. Fun, though. Like, have you been doing that the whole time?
No, I started, like, a week ago. Like, most of the time... I've just squandered by, like, watching TV shows. So I'm finally now, like...
What have you been
watching? I've been trying to, like, get through the original Naruto again.
Yes.
I did. I've watched most of How I Met Your Mother again. Avatar and, like, Legend of Korra and stuff.
Now that the opportunity is there. You can't help it.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta.
Stormy approves of most of those.
Yes. Nice. All of those, actually.
So I just like to ask all of our guests before we get started, just so we can kind of get a taste from you and where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. What are some of your all-time favorite bands? They don't have to be influences, but just people that you listen to on the regular.
Okay. From when I was younger, like, I grew up on, like, Blink-182 and Linkin Park and stuff like that. But then, like, I guess, like, most, like, favorite of all time, probably, like, My Chemical Romance and, like, Fall Out Boy. And then more recently, like, the 1975 and Lainey. And Pale Waves, stuff like that, is, like, more what I'm into now. I think that's, like, most of what I, like, I listen to a lot of bands, but, like, those kind of general, like, genre stuff that sounds like that is mostly what I've listened to.
Yeah.
Look, that's all good taste by my book.
Yeah. Cool.
So we'll talk about the EP a little bit here. So it's called Let Go of Your Love, and it's an acoustic EP, which... seems like a pretty significant divergence from the rest of the discography that you've put out. So what prompted you guys to explore the softer side of the band?
Yeah, so we had talked about doing, like, some acoustic songs, like, a year ago. And we actually wrote, like, a bunch of original ones because we were like, it'd be interesting to, like, put out a bunch of original acoustic songs because usually bands will do remakes of their songs that already exist. So we wrote, like, 6 or 7, and I don't know, it just never really came together. So then when we had our tours cancel and quarantine started, we were kind of like, this will be the perfect time to do it since we're all just stuck at home. So we did the one original song, which is Let Go of Your Love, the title track. So that's a new one. But the rest, I thought, like Alone and 171, like, to me, those sounded like they could be really cool as, like, old school, like 2006, like emo acoustic versions like bands used to do back in the day. So we did those as acoustic. And then I'd also, a lot of my early time in quarantine, I was like learning how to do more like production stuff. So that's why I made the Chemical and Lost Between remix. Those are kind of just like me playing with sounds and learning how to do production, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you mentioned like going back to the early 2000s, mid 2000s sort of acoustic EP thing, because it's the first thing that I thought of when I was listening to it. I was like, oh, it's like back in the day when Bullet for My Valentine just
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like trying to be like super emo, super sad kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I love it. So, and the four songs that you did the acoustic renditions for, they're off of Gone in Your Wake. Right. Yep. So, and that was released like about a year ago now. So what kind of perspective changes have you seen, I should say, on like the bookends of this pandemic?
Perspective changes as far as like our music goes, or?
Yeah, as far as releasing an album goes, or the content of the album. Sorry, that wasn't really clear. I didn't articulate that.
No, it's okay. So it was interesting when we released Gone in Your Wake, like there was a lot of positive like feedback, but then a lot of people like were also very surprised at like the direction we went. So it was kind of interesting seeing like people who were like, why isn't this as heavy as the first record? And then, but it seemed like as the months went on, everybody kind of came around to it and were like, I hated this when it came out, but now I love it kind of thing. So it's interesting seeing the EP release. Like I haven't seen like a single complaint about it, which like never happens. Like usually when we release songs, you know, it's like, there's a lot of people that are super into it. And then there's like always like the YouTube trolls or whatever that are like, this sucks. But this time, I don't know, somehow we've like managed to not have like any negative feedback, which is really amazing. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
Oh my God. People are just excited that you're putting stuff out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I think it helps that it's like super emo and everybody's sad right now. So.
So how did you guys go about determining exactly which songs you were going to include on the EP?
So I knew that we wanted to do Alone, and I knew that everybody would probably want us to do Chemical because that was like the biggest song on the record. And then like Lost Between is like our favorite song. So that's why we did that one. And then 171, like we had just done like the music video for it and stuff. And I thought that was like a cool kind of like throwback style song that I could make work really well acoustically. So yeah, that was pretty much the choices. I think the ones we picked are like our favorites off that record. So they were, yeah, it was just the ones that I knew I could make sound cool. And, but for yeah, sure. mostly Alone, just cause I feel like Alone when it came out on the original record, like it didn't get a lot of traction and I thought it should be like the biggest song we had. So I was like, okay, this song needs another chance. I'm like going to put this on here so that people like have to listen to it and like it.
That's one way to go about it.
Yeah, I'm like, this song is good. Why does nobody like pay attention to this one?
God, I never really thought about that from the artist's perspective. That's got to be infuriating.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
Right? Like,
well, and like, because like Chemical, like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like, I get why it's the most popular one, but I'm like, Alone is like so much better. Like, people should like this more.
Yeah, that's so funny. Because like, you know, as a listener, we all have our favorite songs and usually disagree with the masses for whatever reason.
Right.
But yeah, I never thought about how frustrating that must be for you guys who have actually like put your heart and soul into writing these songs. And like, you know, from the back end, which one should be the best.
Yeah, for so sure. Well, and like, it's easy to tell like, okay, this one like has the catchy chorus and like is 3 minutes and like this will be like good as a single, but like Lost Between, that's that song too, like obviously that's not a single, but I'm like, okay, like the way that Jimmy sang on it and like the emotion it has, I'm like, this is probably one of the best songs on this record too. And that one doesn't get a lot of like hype either, so yeah.
Do you think there's a reason for that, like that it's overlooked?
I don't know. I mean, it is like slower and it's like near the end of the record and stuff. So it's not as like, you know, if people are like putting it on, they like maybe won't get that far or something before they like move on to something else. But yeah. So
yeah, I don't know. It's a fair and devastating reality, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In today's culture of just clicking through.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that too. I don't always get to the end of records.
I know, me too. I like to skim.
Yeah.
So what obstacles did you guys face while you were recording during quarantine?
Yeah, so usually all of the songs we do, it's like me and Josh will sit in a room together and write them. But because I was like living with my grandma, who's super high risk for COVID, we didn't want him coming over, and then like he was living with his family and they didn't want like visitors either. So I kind of just took it upon myself to like do all the instrumentals, just because he was in his like living situation. He didn't have a place where he could like set up his computer and record and stuff. So I ended up doing the two electronic songs, Chemical and Lost Between, like all on my computer. And then for the acoustic ones, Josh still like recorded those. He went to his friend's house and like tracked them all. But like I kind of wrote most of it and just took videos on my phone of like what I wanted him to play. And he like learned it off of that. So that was like interesting. We've never done that before. Because like the new song, Let Go of Your Love, like I just wrote that like all in one go and just sent him a video of like how to play the whole thing. And then he just watched that video and like recorded it. So that was interesting for sure, because we've never done something like that. Usually we're all in the studio together when we record.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was weird, but it actually worked surprisingly well. But
I was gonna ask, like, do you feel like it made it more cohesive in the long run, just because that all kind of came from your head? And then
no, because usually I like a lot of what makes our stuff good, I feel like, is like the back and forth of us like coming up with it together and like working off of each other. But I guess it did make it easier in a sense that it was just redoing songs. Like Let Go of Your Love was the only new one, so like I had to like create a whole new thing from scratch for that. But like just redoing the other songs, I kind of knew what I wanted to sound like, because I already know what the songs sound like as like the full band versions. So those were pretty easy to come up with. But yeah, definitely for our next record, it's going to be like us writing together and recording together. I'm not gonna do that again.
Fair enough. I've heard that a lot over the last few weeks. Talking to people is just like they're happy with the outcome of these quarantine projects, because it's, you know, it's forced people to think differently. But it's like, yeah, no, let's not do that again.
It's not the ideal situation.
Definitely.
But
not.
Like for what it was, like, and Jimmy just recorded his stuff like in his room, and I feel like some of his vocal takes are like better than what was on our last album. So like it's pretty cool that he was able to do such a good job just being like in his room at home.
That's incredible. I'm just amazed by everything that everyone's able to achieve despite all the setbacks.
Yeah.
And it's just such a solid EP altogether. Like I wouldn't have even guessed that you guys had done it separately.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did your collaboration with Sumner Peterson add to the dynamics of the collaboration?
Yeah, so Sumner's like been our good friend for a while. We did a tour with Dead Lakes. It was like a 1 week thing, just like up California and like Nevada. But like ever since then, like he's been a very close friend of ours, and we actually like took him out as a merch guy on one of our tours. So like we lived with him for a month, and he's just like the nicest, sweetest guy I've ever met. So when we were doing it, we were like, hey, like Sumner has a great voice. Let's get him on one of these songs. So we sent him, like, we're like, hey, do the bridge to Chemical, because we think he'd sound cool. And then he ended up writing, like, his own part. Like, originally we thought he was just going to, like, record, like, what was on the album. And then when he sent it back to us, we're like, oh, shit, like, he, like, wrote his entire own part, and it sounds, like, way better than the original one. So that was really cool. And, like, yeah, his voice sounds great, and I think it, like, definitely elevated the song to, like, even better than the original version in my mind, just because his part's so cool.
No, it's a fantastic song, and I'm a huge fan of Dead Lakes as well, and I just thought that he definitely added his sort of own sort of flavor to it, but it was, I should say, the collaboration in general that just, like, blew my mind.
Nice. Yeah, it was like, super funny hearing it and just, like, not expecting it to be something totally different. I was, like, I thought it was just going to be the same lyrics, and then he, like, blew it out of the park with, like, some whole new part that he came up with in, like, I think we asked him to do it, and he sent it to us the next day. So, like, it was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was, like, very fast.
So, can you speak a little bit for the music video for Let Go of Your Love? Like, how is that concept shaped by the circumstances?
Yeah, so our guitar player, Josh, actually, like, filmed that entire video and edited it himself, just because, like, we didn't have the ability to get, like, an outside video guy to do it.
Yeah.
So, I think... I wasn't really part of it, so I don't want to, like, speak incorrectly, but I think Jimmy kind of came up with, like, the concept of it being, like, a retrospective of, like, remembering, like, the good times in a relationship and then having, like, the contrast and juxtaposition of, like, being, like, sad after it's over. And then we also thought it'd be a cool touch, like, to have, like, the lyrics on the screen in, like, the yellow font, because that's, like, kind of like a throwback thing.
I loved that.
Yeah. Love yeah, it. And it, like, makes it sadder, like, reading the lyrics, like, seeing, like, the happy, like, couple on screen and then, like, having super sad, like, lyrics playing at the bottom. I thought that was, like, an interesting touch, so, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it worked out for the Chemical video, too, because, like, we just had our friend do, like, the animation thing for it, so then we didn't have to, like, shoot anything in person, so that was also, like, a good advantage to the quarantine situation.
Right, that seemed to work out a lot better.
Yeah.
Not that it turned out better, they were both great, but I just mean, like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah. That tracks a little bit more than the full-on standard sort of music video. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, because you mentioned the juxtaposition between different ends of a relationship.
Yeah.
And what I wrote down when I was watching it, I was like, this feels so nostalgic of, like, pre-pandemic life.
Yeah, exactly.
Then
yeah,
being, like, stuck inside. And
which is funny, because we had a shot where it was, like, Jimmy and the girl, like, out, like, doing something fun, but in the background you could see, like, mass required and, like, all, like, huge sign and stuff, and then we were like, okay, let's probably take that shot out.
I was looking for mass people in it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's got one. He's everyone in the background.
We tried to hide it as best we could, but
No, I liked it. That wasn't a criticism. I just
No, it's just funny, the whole situation. Funny. Yeah.
I think it's something you'll look back on in, like, 10 years and be like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we're not still in the same situation.
God, I said that and I was like, oh. We'll see. Knock on wood. So how do you feel like the EP as a whole is representative of the journey that you've taken as a band?
I mean, I think it shows, like, we've kind of, you know, our first album was, like, more on, like, the post-hardcore metalcore side. And this is, like, showing, like, the opposite of that we can just make, like, a straight singing only, like, acoustic song. Like, we kind of have, like, both sides in our wheelhouse, if that makes sense. So I think it was, like, the extreme of, like, what we try to do on Gone in Your Wake with, like, we added all the production and, like, all the synths and stuff. And then I was like, okay, let me just take that, like, full on and just have a couple songs be only that and see how it goes. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting when we do the next album, because, like, we've already started writing it, and I've been going, like, way heavier on the synths as, like, a layering thing. Like, it's not, like, the focal point of the songs, but the, you know, doing this EP and, like, having to make songs fully out of production, it's kind of given me, like, a good idea of, like, how I want to do it going forward. Because, like, before this EP, like, I hadn't really done it that much. You know, I helped quite a bit on the last album, but I feel like I really know what I'm doing now as far as, like, computer sounds go. So it'll be interesting to see how it, like, plays a part in the next album.
Yeah, for sure. It kind of, like, it forces you to progress a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, not that you were necessarily in need of progression, but it's just the circumstances pushing you out of your comfort zone, which I think is a nice little silver lining to the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So can we expect you to incorporate these renditions as part of your live sets going forward? You know, assuming that everyone's playing shows in the not-so-distant future.
I'm pretty sure if we headline, like, we'll play Let Go of Your Love, just because that song seems like it's really resonated with a lot of people, and I think people will be upset if we don't play it, just because it's, like, people always want to hear, like, the super sad songs, and I think, like, I think that'll be a big one. I don't think we'll play it as, like, a support band, like, if we do a support tour where there's someone else headlining, I feel like it'd be weird to play it, but definitely, like, on headliners, we'll play that one. I think the other songs, though, we'll probably keep the old versions, because, like, it just makes more sense as, like, a live band to play, like, the full band ones, but I don't know. It might be cool to do, like, if we, like, did a headliner, and then we played Let Go of Your Love, and then did, like, Alone acoustic instead of full band, and then, like, came back and did, like, more songs full band after that kind of thing. Like, that could be interesting, but I don't know if we'll do that or not.
You could like weave a little encore thing into it, like do the acoustic yeah. song first and then come back and like
yeah.
resurge it.
Yeah, like when I saw Bring Me the Horizon a couple years back, they did like Drown acoustic as like their last song, and that was kind of cool. So yeah, maybe we could do something like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm not giving you advice. Don't take advice from me.
No, I'm not too far, but it is interesting to think about like throwing it in.
Right. So this is more of a standard question, but we like to ask all our guests about their local music scenes, and obviously everything's in shambles right now, but barring the pandemic situation for a minute, what can you tell us about the San Diego music scene? Like, are there any venues that you particularly love or up and coming artists that we should be checking out?
Yeah, so like Soma is like the classic San Diego venue. I've been going there since like I was a kid. You know, like all the big bands or like all my favorite bands that I've seen, it was like probably at Soma. So we played there quite a few times. It's always a cool place to be. As far as like local bands, I feel like I've been like out of it for so long. Like I honestly don't know of any local bands. Unfortunately, it seems like the last few years, everybody stopped making this kind of music and just became like SoundCloud rappers. So I don't know if there's even much of a scene in San Diego. Like, even when we're on tours with like bigger bands, like we'll play LA and then we'll play San Diego, and the San Diego show will have like less than half the people that we're at like every other show.
Oh my God, San Diego.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on in San Diego, but if you're like a rapper, like you'll do very well here, but I feel like bands have kind of dropped off. So I'm not sure.
Disappointing.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then let me reframe the question. Who are some of like your favorite up-and-coming bands that you've played with or that you've toured with?
That we've toured with? Oh, definitely Dead Lakes is like the top one because they're so good.
I love them.
I feel like they have a very bright future ahead of them. I'm trying to think who else. There's a band Avoid from like the Pacific Northwest that our friend Chris is in. That band's really cool. I don't know. I feel like I'm so out of it with like new music. I just listen to like the same things over and over, but yeah, definitely if you haven't checked out Dead Lakes or Avoid, check them out. Bloodline too is a great band. We did our last tour with them. They are very good live, and they have a very cool sound that I think is pretty unique as far as like metalcore bands go. Like they do some things differently, so check them out as well.
Fantastic. And I know you guys just announced a 2021 tour, you know, assuming that everything is going well by then. Mm-hmm. I forgot to take down who you were going with. What's happening on that one?
It's Normandy and Captives in UK and Europe. So yeah, I definitely hope we're not, because right now we're still banned from all those countries, I think. So.
And it's awful because it's not like those countries are bad. It's like.
No, it's like we're bad. Like we're
just not handling it.
We have the problem for sure. So I really hope we are unbanned by March of next year and we can go. Because that would be fun.
That would be awesome.
I really want to go back to Europe. Yeah.
I want you to go back to Europe. I want to see videos of you guys playing from Europe. I want to know that there are shows going off somewhere. I don't even have to be at them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried to see how long it takes the United States to come back with shows because it doesn't seem very hopeful, but we'll see.
I try not to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
So this is just a fun little JB question, but you get to pick one person to quarantine with for the next year, living or dead, and be a musical artist or otherwise. Who would you pick?
That's hard. I don't know. I feel like I'd want it to be someone I already know that I would get along with, but that's not very fun. I feel like I'd probably want to go with like Patrick Stump or something, because like I think he has a really interesting like style of writing and singing and everything. And I think it'd be interesting to like hang out with that dude and like learn a lot from him, because I think he has like a lot to offer. Or Matty Healy, just because it's Matty Healy. But
oh my God, it's funny. I just did a lot of research on Patrick Stump for a different project that I'm working on, and I didn't realize what a cool dude he is. I feel like he's just constantly overshadowed by Pete Wentz. But, like, I think that's a solid answer. I think I might be inclined to agree. And, like, he's a handy dude. He'd be good to have around.
Yeah, and he can, like, play every instrument. And, like, I don't know. He's, like, he's very talented for sure.
Yeah.
Also, Matty Healy, it'd be interesting to, like, write with that guy, and, like, because he's got such emotional, like, depth and everything, so.
I would actually love to see what you could come up with him.
I doubt he would be down to do it, but, yeah, if we could work it out, that'd be super cool.
Well, I'll get on that. I'll start talking to his people.
All right. Yeah. If I can connect you guys. Sounds good.
With all of my industrial sway.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you, unless there's anything else that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just, yeah, check out our new EP. If you haven't listened to our first two records, check those out. Check out Dead Lakes. And then we're working on our third album right now. So we have like a bunch of songs like written, and we'll see where it goes. We should be recording like end of this year, early next year. So hopefully we'll have something cool with that going on.
I do have a question. I remembered. Okay. So do you have any like weird or crazy tour stories that you can tell us? Because it's my favorite thing, because I know everybody has something, at least one thing weird that happened on tour.
Okay, well, I can tell you, like, I have the story of, like, the worst airline travel we've ever had. I guess
that's
kind of... Yes!
So, like, our first Europe tour, we, like, on the way there and the way back, we're both, like, horrible. So, I think I told the story, like, one time before. But basically, we were flying from L.A. to San Francisco and then San Francisco to London. And we're going to meet the tour bus in London. And we're going to be a day early. But, like... The flight from LA to San Francisco got delayed so far that we made it to San Francisco and we only had like 30 minutes to get to the gate, but they made us go through security again. And then we like went under like one of the line things and they got super mad at us, like the TSA, and they like had the dog like false positive on us, like that we had drugs or something. So then we had to go through this like extreme secondary search. So like, of course we missed the flight. We go down to the gate and they're like, okay, we don't have anything today. Like, you have to fly out tomorrow, but all the hotels are full, so we can't give you a hotel. So we like sleep in like the like area between where like you get dropped off and like behind the gate. So we're just like in this like little front area. And they have like super loud announcements going off like all night long. And then at one point in the night, the construction crew comes and like starts just like drilling into the ceiling, like right next to where we're sleeping. So we got like 1 hour of sleep max, and we got like pizza to eat because we were like, there was nothing in that area. Like, we had to order a delivery pizza, and then it gave all of us like super bad stomach aches, and we were all like about to throw up and stuff. So like, that was bad. So then the next day, we go to like where the flight's supposed to be, and then the flight's like delayed like 3 hours. So we get to London and we've missed the tour bus. So we have to like get on like a city bus and drive like, I think it was like a 1 or 2 hour drive to like the city we were playing in. And then we get dropped off at the bus station. We have to take like 3 taxis because we have all our gear. So we take like taxis from the bus station to the venue. And we like almost missed the show. But like luckily we got there in time and like we played and we were probably terrible. But then we like, because we hadn't slept for like 2 days straight basically. But then like we did the whole tour. We get to the end of the tour. We get dropped off at the airport at 6 a.m. and our flight is until like 9 p.m. So we like sit at the airport all day, take our flight, and we have to spend the night in the Poland airport because that's like where our connection is. So we like only get like an hour of sleep in there because it's like super loud again and like super bright. Then we go to the gate and our flight is canceled and there's no flights for 3 days.
Oh my god,
the plane's like messed up. So luckily there they gave us like a hotel each and like free food and stuff, so we got like a cool like mini vacation in Poland.
But that's kind of like, neat.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, after like all of that, like luckily when we got the final flight, like it was fine and like we just got home like normal. But yeah, I like could not believe like how bad our luck was on that tour with flying, because I've like never had, like I've flown quite a bit and we've never had an experience like that at all. So
Sounds like something out of a movie, like just racing yeah. to get to the gig.
Yeah, it just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah, oh, it's like sound like somebody had to write that out. Like it sounds fake.
No, but like the Poland vacation was very cool. Like we went around like all the like historical sites and stuff. So we were in like Warsaw. So that was pretty cool. But yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely like preferred to go home.
Yeah, especially after the whole tour and
yeah, you're just ready to be home at that
not
point.
Not sleeping and all that jazz.
Oh, and the other thing I forgot to say was, like, for some reason, I guess, like, Germans are, like, way more chill with nudity, but there's this dude, like, in the airport just, like, he just took his pants and underwear off and was just, like, bare-ass, like, walking around for a bit, and that was, like, super weird, so I don't know.
That's the part you forgot?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we always like to make that joke where it's just, like, ooh, I'm at the airport, like, anytime we, like, are going to take our pants off, so.
How often does that come up?
No, it's just like a joke. Like, we're not actually doing it, but we're like, ooh, I'm at the airport.
Time to take my pants off.
Yeah, exactly.
Get some nakey going on.
So, I feel like that gives me a German thing. I feel like that guy probably should have been arrested.
Yeah, right? Probably. Yeah. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I doubt it's a German thing, but it's
like, can you imagine somebody just getting naked in an American air? Like, how fast somebody would be on him? Like, there's no way. No.
Yeah, they'd be
it's
taken
insane.
Down.
That's incredible. Yeah. All right. So before we let you go, can you just go over your socials for us real quick so that everybody knows where to find you?
Yeah. So the band is at 1000below on everything, I'm pretty sure. And then for mine, I'm at Josh Billy on Twitter and at Josh Billamoria on Instagram. But yeah, that's about it. Check out the EP.
Perfect. Yeah. Fantastic. We'll link to all of it in the show notes. So it'll be all right there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Good. Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It was so great to, like, break off our hiatus with you. So,
yeah.
Thanks for the positive experience.
For sure.
Do you think of me on any occasion? You used to be my savior, my haven, my memories. I played with you everywhere. Christmas and summertime, birthdays and all of those restaurants and funny things you'd say. Now you don't even care that I fell apart and
I only know stuff about video games and comic books.
What the fuck kind of accent is that?
I don't know.
Oof, guys, we are out of practice. This has been a special post-hiatus episode.
Gosh.
You're really hearing us finding our strides.
The best part about it is I had a migraine yesterday. We were supposed to record yesterday, but I had migraine yesterday, so we didn't record yesterday. And I have migraine hangovers, so my brain's already not working, and we also haven't done this in 2 months, so extra sloppy today. like if you're trying to eat potato salad, but you only have a knife.
Ew.
Well, I mean, you only have a knife. It's going to be messy. You don't have a fork or a spoon.
All right, guys. If you want more messy potato salad, you can follow us on socials.
Yeah, it's I'm Not Okay Pod on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Not Okay Podcast on Facebook. And I'm Not Okay Podcast group. And then if you want to email us, we are at imnotokpod@gmail.com. If you want to follow me, I am at Slummy Thomas on Instagram and on TikTok and on Twitch, actually, but I don't post there very often.
And I am Brashbat on Instagram and EC Thrash on Twitter. I barely use that, though, so maybe don't look for me there. If you've enjoyed the show today, please go ahead and subscribe to us and perhaps, if you're feeling generous, leave us a rating and a review because that boosts our spots on the charts and it gives us and our artists a little bit of visibility because we don't pay for advertising.
Yeah, and tell your friends. Word of mouth helps. It's very good. Very good.
We appreciate it.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
If we're even going to have any listeners after we just noped out for the whole fucking summer.
God, I can't even. My brain stopped.
You gonna come up with a good accent for today's sign off?
Probably not. Is that it? Is that the one?
That's the one.
That's the one.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of I'm Not Okay podcast. Playing us out today is going to be the band Familiar Things with their song June Again. If you like what you hear, you can find them at Familiar Things on Facebook, at Familiar Things Music on Instagram, and Familiar_Things on Twitter. We were playing the radio, so you know I'll never forget you.